Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. Aaron Rodgers speaks, kind of like E.F. Hutton. We all listen. If you listen to the last hour of the show, I hope, one, you're entertained, and two, you may have caught T.J. Houshmandzadeh asking why I'm not calling out the Jets for not signing Zach Wilson. Okay, so it's a really, really interesting discussion. So Zach Wilson is one of two unsigned first-round draft picks. And the reason is he wants to, the front office is hoping to defer millions in signing bonus money to 2022. Normally, the top two picks get their signing bonus money up front. Joe Burrow did. Trevor Lawrence did. Nick Bosa did. Chase Young did. Okay? They receive their signing bonuses within 30 days of inking their respective rookie deals. The Jets did this with Sam Darnold. He got his entire signing bonus 15 days after signing, as was reported on social media and the media. Okay. Now, that was Mike Maccagnan's draft pick, not Joe Douglas's. So some of this just comes down to the devil being in the details and whether or not you're going to the wording of the contract, okay, the wording of the contract in terms of if for some reason Zach Wilson was cut in the last year or two of years of his deal and then he signed, is there offset language or whatever? This does relate to the Aaron Rodgers story, okay? What NFL teams don't want, or what they want, is a lot like the court of law, okay? You don't want to be able to cite precedent. Do you guys remember that? You want to talk about a movie that would have no chance of being made today? Do you remember was it C. Thomas Howell who made Soul Man, Ramos?
That is correct. C. Okay. Thomas Howell.
Okay. Do you, Lee, are you old enough to remember Soul Man, the movie?
No, I actually haven't seen Soul Man.
Haven't I? Okay. How old were you in 1986?
I was just about to be born. I was born in 88.
Okay. Byer, do you remember Soul Man?
No.
C. Thomas Howell, no?
No.
Okay, so C. Thomas Howell was a law student who pretended to be black in order to get a full scholarship. I think it was to Harvard Law School, right?
I believe it's Harvard, yes.
Yeah, and he used tanning pills in larger doses than prescribed to appear to be African-American. And then he finds out that prejudice and racism exist simply because of the color of his skin. It's actually it's a funny movie, but it's a really interesting look at, or perspective at, in the 80s, what it might have been like to be a Harvard Law student if you were black. Okay, but one of the money lines is the precedent. And he's not paying attention in a law school class. And he stands up and says, the precedent, sir, is Ronald Reagan, right? Well, the precedent and president, obviously two different things. What the NFL teams don't want is they don't want a negative precedent. This is what happened with the Chargers with Joey Bosa. They didn't want to change the offset language. So I understand that players are like, he's a quarterback. He's your number two pick. What are we doing? Get him signed. Get him in camp. But the fact is that the Jets have time on their side. They're not expecting to be good this year. He's not going anywhere else. He's not re-entering the draft. They've already made him he's the face of the Jets. Like, Joe Douglas handpicked him. And while you can sit there and cite Mike Maccagnan and his policies, Joe Douglas is like, nah, I'm not doing it, because if I do it for him, I got to do it for all the other first round draft picks that I have. No thanks. Which kind of brings us to the Packers, which is where I do actually understand the Packers and some of their stances. Like, we don't want to do these things, because if we give that to Aaron Rodgers, who don't we give into? This is Aaron Rodgers on Green Bay trying to throw money at him.
There wasn't a draft day thing. There were conversations for a number of months leading up to that. Post the draft, I think what basically happened was then they said, we'll give you some money now. Let's see if we can throw some money at you. I said from the start it wasn't about the money. Obviously, I didn't show up for the off-season program or mini camp. To me, it was bigger than this. It was about trying to be a resource for the organization that I care about and love so much.
I mean, look, it fascinating stuff of what Aaron Rodgers is talking about. Shared with us the deal. Like, hey, they came to me. We talked about things. They didn't want to extend me before the draft. He said he had nothing to do with the draft day leaks. I actually tend to believe that. I think the draft day leaks were all about the Niners thinking they had a chance at a deal, and they leaked it out there. They leaked it out there because they thought they could plant the seeds of dysfunction. Here's Aaron Rodgers on not having talks about an extension.
There was a part of me that did think that there would be conversation about an extension. You know, based on my cap number this season, next season, it seemed natural based on the way I played to at least have a conversation about it. It wasn't a conversation. Not until into May. And that to me seemed like an analogy that you guys understand. You guys have a fantastic year at work. You write some great stories. You go to your boss and say, I just had an incredible year. I think I deserve a pay raise or, you know, some security. And the boss says, yeah, let's just see how it goes. A couple months down the line, you get another job opportunity. You go back to your boss and say, hey, I got this amazing job opportunity. And say, whoa, no, we love you. We do want you to stick around. We do care about you. Just have the same feeling.
Honestly, that's the biggest problem, I think, in my industry, in every industry. Like, what Aaron Rodgers is feeling is real, but it's also completely relatable. Look, ESPN has changed 50 times over since I left in 2012. That was 9 years ago. But every person who worked there when I was there shared generally the same opinion, which was they didn't lose you because of their last contract offer. They lost you because of their first contract offer. Let me say that again. They didn't lose you because of their last contract offer. They lost you because of their first contract offer. What's that mean? My first contract at ESPN, I won't tell you how much I made. That's not, I don't want to share that. It doesn't really matter. Right? But the only reason I made what I made for what I was doing was I was doing a radio show in Oklahoma City and doing games. And I got offered a job. Actually, Jason Whitlock helped me get offered a job in Kansas City. And that became kind of the baseline of, hey, if you want to get me up here, you have to go above and beyond this. But the way every contract is structured differently there, unlike NFL contracts, which are all generally structured the same because of a union. But the way in which deals are structured there is I was doing a radio show at night, 6 hours a week, 6 hours a night, 4 days a week, 200 shows a year. I think it was 200, maybe it was 180. I think it was 180 to start. And I had 8 college basketball games. If I appeared in a college basketball game or studio show above and beyond those 8, I got paid a set amount. It's called an overage. If I appeared anywhere outside of radio on a day in which I did radio, I got paid nothing. If I did it on a day in which I wasn't on radio, I got paid a nominal overage fee. That deal was a 3-year deal, I believe, with a 1-year option. And at the end of year 3 or year 4 or whatever, I should have been making far above that. And my first contract offer was more than I was previously making in terms of my actual contract. But when you added in any sort of bonuses or any sort of overage, it was actually less than I was making. Like, hey, I mean, just imagine this, like, right? Like you sign on a job to make $50,000, but the bonuses take you to $75,000. And then 3 years in, your boss is like, hey, guess what? We're going to extend you. We're going to give you a $20,000 raise. And you're like, yes, $70,000. Like, well, wait a second. I make 75. Right? And so eventually they get to the number where you're like, all right, we got to a reasonable number. But during the, and then there's like, and the way, it, again, it worked at ESPN is 6 months before your contract was up, they had to tell you if they were going to re-up you or not. And generally that was when they made their first contract offer. And they wouldn't get down to the hard negotiating until you're like the last month or two of your contract. So whether it's a month, 2 months, 3 months, 5 months, you go going like, they don't value me at all. They haven't been paying attention. They're not even paying attention at all to all the stuff I'm doing. And you're mad. And then you can take other meetings with other people and you might get the same offer. I mean, that honestly, one of the reasons I left, right, was the first offer for my last deal was not, it was not great. It was, I mean, it was a lot of money in terms of the grand scheme of things, what I'm actually doing. But in terms of all the things I was doing and all the things and days and I was offering up and I'm willing to work and do basketball on the road, basketball in studio, fill in for any TV show, doing shows all through the summer, do my own radio show, do other radio shows, like do all this stuff. Like, hey, it's a lot. That's the number? Like, it wasn't really a raise. Eventually, 6 months later, they got to the exact number that I told my agent it needed to be. But I was pissed. Because I'd been there 9 years. And I was like, man, I've been here 9 years in person, 10 years total. And you'd basically offer me a 1% raise? Come on, man. And this is when everybody was, they were just throwing money at people. So I get what Aaron Rodgers is saying. I think it's really interesting. Like, here's where the Packers screwed it up. They went willing to talk. And then all of a sudden, but I also think that's how, unfortunately, how business is done. How business is done. What an interesting look at the, what an interesting look at the Packers organization, how they do business. He was asked to be considered retirement. Take a listen to his answer. Get that 1 second. This is Aaron Rodgers, consider whether or not he considered retirement.
Aaron, was there a point over the last few months when you seriously considered retirement for this? You might, and at what point did you change your mind and decide to actually come back?
Yeah, that's definitely something I thought about. You know, I talked about how important being a full-timer was for a long time. This was the first time to spend the off-season away without a COVID year or a lockout year. And I enjoyed it. You know, I really did. I took time working on myself and trying to better myself in a number of areas where I feel like I could improve based on my own patterns and conditioning. And it was a lot of growth in that process. I continued to find joy and happiness and things off the field. However, there's still a big competitive hole in my body that I need to fill. And as I got back into my workouts, I just realized that I know I can still play and I want to still play. And as long as I feel like I can give 100% to the team, then I should still play.
I think it's a really thoughtful, interesting answer. I'm not sure it came out the way that he and his agent would like to come out in terms of linking him up to a long-term deal, right? It's like we've heard Aaron Rodgers wants to play into his 40s, but that's the real Aaron Rodgers. Everything else he shared is the real Aaron Rodgers. And he just told you right there, like, yeah, I actually had a lot of fun not doing anything football-wise. And then I still have a competitive hole. How long until you fill that hole? Like, we're making the Packers look like the bad guys, look like the dopes. But the reality of it is, 2 years ago, most people, I actually thought he had a better season than most people thought. But the reality is, most people thought his skills were declining. He didn't love the progress of the organization. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he told people around him, I don't want to play into my 40s. Like, I want to have a life. So the Packers have some ammo there to be like, wait, you want us to sign you to an extension when 2 years ago you didn't look great? You've never totally been down with the program. And oh, yeah, by the way, like you even said to yourself, you enjoyed spending time away from football. You can tell people you want to play till you're 45. The reality is you're not Tom Brady. You're not Russell Wilson. You're not saying all these. This is the real Aaron Rodgers. Interesting. Maybe gave away too much. Eric Mangini will join us. We'll get his thoughts on that, his thoughts on the Jets, his thoughts on Devontae Adams in a second. But first, BetRivers Sportsbook wants to invite you to discover the complete sports betting experience. The foundation of that experience is a massive number of betting options on nearly every regulated sporting event around the world. Add on top of that, live streaming of sports every day. There's almost always a live match to watch on BetRivers Sportsbook right on your phone. BetRivers features top-tier customer service, ready to answer your questions anytime, day or night. Plus, with a unique rush pay system, BetRivers Sportsbook can authorize most withdrawal requests instantly. Customer satisfaction is always their number one priority, and BetRivers will match your first deposit up to $250. Now, unlike some other sportsbooks, BetRivers only requires a one-time pay-through to turn those bonuses into cold, hard cash. Experience the difference. Go to BetRivers.com. You can see it for yourself. BetRivers.com. BetRivers.com. You must be 21. You must be present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, or Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let me welcome in Eric Mangini, who joins us, the man genius himself. Eric, how are you?
I'm doing great. Just listening to the name, image, and likeness discussion and the underwear brand in Orange County. All interesting stuff.
Yeah. What did you think of Aaron Rodgers earlier today?
I don't know really where he could have gone with that press conference. When you look at everything and the way that it's unfolded, he really didn't, his situation didn't change very much. And I'd say it's a very little win for him in this whole transaction. It looks like, I know we don't have the final situation, but it looks like he got 1 year cut off his deal. But next year he's still under contract with the Packers. And unless he's willing to retire, he's really got no other leverage and nothing else that he can do. So he goes back and he gets, obviously, a receiver that he wanted. So there's a small concession on the part of the Packers. But he's back, he's playing, and he's in the same spot next offseason with no control over his contract either. So I don't know what he could have done, because he's back, he's playing, he wants to be successful. So now it's just smoothing it out and moving forward.
Okay, so there's a bunch of things there. He talked about, and guys, do we have that? He talked about trying to help the Packers with some of the mistakes of their past decisions. Take a listen. This is in his own words.
I wanted to help the organization, maybe learn from them some of the mistakes in the past, in my opinion, about the way that some of the outgoing veterans were treated, and just the fact that we didn't retain a number of players that I felt like were core players to our foundation, our locker room, high character guys. I'm talking about Charles Woodson, Jordy Nelson, Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, James Jones, John Kuhn, Brett Goode, TJ Lang, Brian Bulaga, Casey Hayward, Micah Hyde, guys who were, you know, exceptional players for us, but great locker room guys, high character guys. Many of them who weren't offered a contract at all, or were extremely lowballed, or were, you know, maybe in my opinion, not given the respect on the way out that guys of their status and stature and high character deserved.
Well, what do you think of Rodgers saying, hey, you know, you need to, I like you guys to run this stuff by me. I'd like to talk about those guys in the past and help you in the future. Having been a head coach, having been part of championship organizations, what are your thoughts on the realities of that?
Well, I would love to and have someone to talk through those decisions with. And there's been a lot of veterans that I have talked through decisions with, because I respect their opinion. Curtis Martin was a really good sounding board, and I thought he had a great perspective on not just the emotional side, because you do form bonds with players. You don't want to have to move on from them. But then there's this other side, and it's harsh, and it's the reality of the league, that you do have to move on from players. And oftentimes when you're telling people that they're fired, or however you want to phrase it, there's not a lot of good ways to deliver that news. And if there is a better way that you could deliver that news, then I would be all for it. I think one of the things that's always made New England very successful or made them different than a lot of other places is they moved on from pretty much anybody, and they would move on from anybody. And that harsh economic viewpoint of player transactions, which nobody likes to talk about, has also helped them significantly win. And I never have heard Aaron Rodgers say, I would take less money to keep those guys. I've never heard that come up in a conversation. And that would have been really interesting to hear him say, at some point, I would have taken less to keep some of those great players. I mean, then you have a really compelling argument, and it's a little bit easier to get behind.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I also think, and you tell me if I'm wrong, okay? The reality is that Aaron Rodgers was like, those guys would have taken less to stay. First, everybody says that when they're out the door, right? They all like, well, I would have been taking less to stay. Like, would you really? Or would you have been offended that you're asked to take less? And, oh, yeah, by the way, and this has been described to me by a GM of a current NFL team, where he's like, look, that stuff very rarely works, and it never works with big-name players because they're pissed at being in the same locker room knowing they took a massive pay cut. It just looks bad around their guys. There's an ego to it. It doesn't work. You've been in it. You've known the reality to it. What's the reality to asking star players to stay and take a pay cut?
It's not a good reality. It's not a good conversation to have for exactly the reason that you outlined. Now they've taken a pay cut, but they feel like they're adding the same value that they've always added. They see young guys that maybe aren't contributing in the same way, obviously aren't contributing in the same way from a locker room perspective, who are making more money because maybe they where they were drafted or free agency or whatever the case may be. And that frustrates them too. And I've seen a bunch of guys leave the team they're with to go take less money from another team because of their pride. So even though it was less than they were getting from Team A, it was still more than they ended up getting. But they'd rather go somewhere else than deal with the reality of taking a cut on their own team.
Yeah, it's fascinating. All right, I want to play for you what Davante Adams said when he was asked. Okay, he had his press conference right after Aaron Rodgers. He was asked about, would he give a little bit of a discount if he got to play with Aaron Rodgers?
Would you be willing to not be the highest paid wide receiver if it means staying with him, or is that all you'll settle for?
No, that's not going to happen. You know, I don't want to. It's not about being a baby. But what other profession do you, you know, take less than what you have earned? You know, that's not how it goes. And, you know, the fans may see it different in certain ways. And I'm sure there's a lot of fans that see it the same way that myself, my family, my agent, and, you know, most of the league sees it. But, you know, I'm not a baby, so I'm not going to not show up, and I'm not complaining about it. At the end of the day, I'm not poor right now. You know, I'll be okay to get through and, you know, go try to win a Super Bowl again. And that's my main focus now.
Oh, so Davante Adams took the opposite tact. He's like, hey, I just want to get paid. Shouldn't he have offered up, look, I want to be here. There's always a deal to be made. Because this feels like the Darrelle Revis thing all over again.
Well, I think it's very honest. And a lot of people will dress up those comments with, I'm being disrespected, or the organization doesn't value me. When you look at what Davante did, he had 18 touchdowns last season. It's the third highest ever in NFL history. He had a 77% catch rate. And the next highest receiver, I think, had 52 catches, and it was the tight end. So that means it's not like they were stopping somebody else. They were trying to stop him, and he's got a strong argument to be the highest paid receiver in the NFL. I get that. But therein lies the problem. Is if you have the highest paid quarterback and you've got the highest paid receiver, you can't pay everybody at that rate. So at some point you've got to move on from guys. And now it's a function of, hey, I want to be paid the most I can be paid, but I want you to keep all these other guys too. And I want you to pay them at a high level. It's just not enough money. It's just not the reality, and it's hard for people to sometimes take.
All right, the best teams by Eric Mangini, former head coach, Browns, Jets, longtime assistant with the Patriots, joining us. Of course, you see him on all Fox Sports One's properties. The best teams have the fewest agendas, right? When the agenda, number one agenda is to win games, those are usually the best teams. They have the talent, okay, and they've been close the past 2 years. But does the agenda of next year hurt this team? Or is that every team in the NFL, all these guys are worried about next year, and so it doesn't, they're no different than any other team?
No, I actually think, Doug, there's real value here. But some of the best performances you ever get are guys on their contract year. When guys are looking for that next contract, it's different. And the level of motivation is extremely high. The sacrifice that they're willing to make is extremely high. It's almost counterintuitive. When guys get paid, oftentimes there's a exhale that goes into place, and you don't get the production that you want. And if anything, now they're protecting the money that they have secured in future years because they want to make sure they get to those deals. So there's real value to having a motivated Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. I think it's great.
Eric Mangini, our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. The Jets still have not signed their star rookie quarterback, and apparently it's over deferring some of the signing bonus, or the signing bonus, actually it's termed deferring, but really the signing bonus going with the commensurate years instead of all being paid up front, and some language at the back end of the contract. Again, the realities of it, should the Jets relent on a guy who they, Zach Wilson, who they expect to be their starting quarterback?
Yeah, this is a hard one, Doug, because organizationally it's a new GM, and the deal that they did in the past with a player in a similar position was with a different GM. So if you're trying to establish precedent, what you're going to do organizationally with draft picks, at some point you have to make a stand. And the stand that they're making is they want to be able to spread out the signing bonus from a cash perspective over the course of time as opposed to doing it up front. And I think the other sticking point was offsets. So if this doesn't work out, they want to be able to offset the money if he ends up going to a different team. Now, look, if this doesn't work out, odds are nobody from this front office is going to be in place.
Right.
Yeah, so that helps the next administration. So I would probably relent on that. And from the cash perspective, you know, it's another one of those things where I get the precedent, but you don't have a plan B. There's no veteran quarterback sitting there that can take snaps, that you can feel comfortable leading the team. You went all in on this guy, and now you're playing hardball with him. And I'd say the third component of this is you really don't want that guy coming into camp disenchanted with the organization. So it'd be in everybody's best interest to find some sort of middle ground here, because every day that he loses is a day that, you know, you can't get back, and he desperately needs.
Eric Mangini is our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, last thing. You look around the league and the Steelers brought back Ben Roethlisberger. They were kind of financially tied to do so. He's lost some weight. He's in better shape, but they had to remake their offensive line. We don't know about their running game. You know, the defense isn't the same. I get that it's the Steelers. I get that Mike Tomlin never has a bad season. But this sure feels like a year in which they're kind of playing out the string. Like, am I the only one who doesn't love what it looks like in Pittsburgh early on?
I like Ben Roethlisberger. I think I'm in a minority on Ben Roethlisberger, and it might be a function of playing against him for so long. I have so much respect for him. And you look at what they did last season, pretty incredible. And it came to a disappointing end, but it came to a disappointing end for what you pointed out. They had no running game. It's so anti what Pittsburgh's been about year in and year out. They didn't have any sort of balance. And look, he actually got him back in the striking distance against the Browns. What did he throw it, like 50-something times? So for a guy that you think is washed up, they're relying on him almost solely. Now, getting that running game straightened out, getting some – it doesn't have to be back to what it was, but getting some semblance of balance back in the running game, they're going to be a problem again this year for everybody. And I think underestimating Ben Roethlisberger is a mistake, and I think underestimating the Steelers is typically a mistake.
Eric, great stuff, man. Good to have football back. Good to have you back on. Can't wait to talk to you very, very soon.
Awesome, Doug. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. That's Eric Mangini joining us, former head coach and analyst for the NFL on Fox Sports 1. Was trading for Randall Cobb a smart move by Green Bay? Find out next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Says she love me so. Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. This is a song by... Is that not Real Big Fish? It's a Real Big Fish? Real Big Fish, and it's a song called Beer. Right? It's basically a tale of a guy who's waiting around for a girl, and he's really distressed over it, so he's like, I'll just have a beer. That's basically the song. It's good stuff. Let's get to what the Fox said. Every day at this time, the Doug Gottlieb Show, we try and bring back for you something we heard on Fox Sports Radio or saw on Fox Sports 1. I got two cuts for you. First, let me get to Colin Cowherd. Randall Cobb is the newest member of the Green Bay Packers. It was a trade where I think the Texans are going to pay $3 million of the deal. This is Colin on the Cobb deal and whether or not it's good for the Packers.
What Green Bay is doing now, they're in the makeup stage. So they're making a really bad move to appease Aaron Rodgers, who's got 1 year left, may not care about building some great relationship with a rookie slot receiver named Amari Rodgers from Clemson, who actually can play. So this is officially the weird stage. That Aaron Rodgers, because Green Bay feels, we kind of butchered that whole thing and we got to make up, bad move. Now, some of you could say, well, Brady went out and got Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown is essentially free. They pay him nothing. And he can still beat people down the field. Antonio Brown can play. He's got his issues. Dude can play and he's free. What about Gronk? Still an elite blocking tight end. I mean, last two years, that Gronk has played, he's made huge plays in big games, Super Bowls, AFC Championship, NFC Championship. Gronk can still play, not as often. And not with the volume he once did, but Gronk can still play. Antonio Brown can still play. It's a discount for both. Randall Cobb can't, and he's expensive.
Well, look, now the devil being into the details, the Texans are absorbing a good portion of that contract, and we'll see what the Packers pay and if they can rework his deal. The Gronk analogy is a good one because that's probably the role Randall Cobb plays. And this is something I think that Aaron Rodgers envisioned as how Green Bay should do it in his mind, right? In his mind, you have these long-term vets and they come back at a discounted rate and they help train the next generation. Again, in his mind, that's how it would work. Additionally, it's about somebody he trusts in a foxhole and whether or not they can use another wide receiver, like the idea when they get to, it's a lot like Gronk, right? Gronk, remember the first seven games of the season, he was barely being used. And he even joked about being a decoy. But late in the season, it's the guys you can count on, the guys who you can trust. And if you look at those ridiculous touchdown numbers to Devontae Adams, it's pretty obvious that Aaron Rodgers needs somebody else he can trust. I like this deal. You know, I don't know what, if anything, it cost them financially, but I really, really like this deal for the Packers because it does show a willingness to listen and it does show a willingness to try something. Is it a little bit like, you know, trying to buy your wife off with a diamond ring? Sure. Sure. But sometimes that works. All right, this is Brandon Marshall earlier today on First Things First talking about Simone Biles.
Naomi Osaka, I salute you. Simone Biles, I salute you. I know it may be tough right now, but what you guys are doing, it matters. And it's pushing this conversation forward. Just yesterday, I was on with an athlete, and they called me, professional athlete, just checked into camp, NFL player. And he said, Brandon, you know, I was diagnosed with this, and I'm trying to figure out what do I do? How do I live with this? How do I play through this? Because there was times last year where I didn't want to play at all. And I said, buddy, you're off right now. It's okay. You got to realize that these professional athletes, they got 70,000 cheering fans live. They got another couple million tuned in, and you always have to be on. This is one of those industries and one of those things that you do from a career standpoint where you always have to be on. And you maybe even throw media in that. But there's other professions where you can hide. You can take a day off. It's okay right. to say, you know what, this is a sick day. You can't do that in sports. So I told this young man, I said, buddy, it's okay. And you just have to realize that everybody else around you have to adapt. This is the time right now. I'm extremely excited about where the mental health community is. I salute Simone. I salute Naomi and all the other athletes standing up today saying, you know what, mental health matters.
I don't think anybody said mental health doesn't matter? But it's interesting. I found a contradiction in what Brandon's talking about. He's championing Naomi Osaka, who skipped the French and skipped Wimbledon. And he's championing Simone Biles, who skipped out now on several Olympic events because mental health matters. But then on the other hand, he said you can't take a day off in sports, which I agree with. Therein lies the problem.
What does the fuck say?
It's much more complex than just saying, hey, mental health matters. Of course it matters.